Our program is about wisdom literature and the Old Testament. We'll be looking at the books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. This program is brought to you by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, Archdiocese of Detroit, and our pastor is Father Joseph Gambala. My name is Gordon Peck. But as in all things, let us begin in prayer. And we're going to pray a prayer by St. Thomas Aquinas. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Creator of all things, true source of light and wisdom, lofty origin of all being, graciously let a ray of your brilliance penetrate into the darkness of my understanding, and take from me the double darkness in which I have been born, an obscurity of both sin and ignorance. Give me a sharp sense of understanding, a retentive memory, and the ability to grasp things correctly and fundamentally. Grant me the talent of being exact in my explanations and the ability to express myself with thoroughness and charm. Point out the beginning, direct the progress, and help in completion. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Name the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so wisdom literature, the book of Proverbs. Well, the Hebrew Bible, or the Tanakh, contains three major sections. The first is the Torah, or the Pentateuch. These are the five books of Moses. It is the law. It is the most important part of the Hebrew Bible. The next part is the Nevi'im, which is the writings of the prophets. Here is where we find Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the other prophets. And the third part is called the Ketuvim, which means writings. And this includes all the other books that don't fall into those categories. And the three that we're going to look at are Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And tonight we're going to look at Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs was strongly influenced by the custom of passing on information about living in anecdotes to children, so lessons on life, although the book is addressed to adult readers. Now, a collection of wise sayings was most likely added over a long period of time by scribes and others, and also from folk wisdom and adages. And most scholars believe these emerged as the book that we know in the post-exilic period, which is from maybe 450 to 250 BC. So that's after the exile to Babylon. These writings came together to form this book. And the book is credited to King Solomon as being the primary author, which is very likely, but it's also possible that portions were compiled in the manner of Solomon's teaching by some of his disciples and many other authors. A principal voice in the book is the lady known as Wisdom, which is described as a valuable objective for the reader. The book suggests that anyone who pursues the objectives with purity of intent can expect to live a long and blessed life, pleasing to God. So, what is biblical wisdom literature? Well, it's not a law. It's not like Exodus and Deuteronomy. It's not a prescription of exact ways to live and what to avoid. It's not a prophetic book, not like Isaiah or Jeremiah, and it's not a historical book, not like 1 Samuel, which might document the life of King David, or 1 Kings, which might document Solomon and all the kings that came after him. No, it's an accumulated insight of God's chosen people through the generations. So here's how the organization of the book of Proverbs folds out. Chapter 1 has a brief introduction, and then between chapters 1 and 9, there are lessons of a father to a son. So here's advice on how to live a good life. And then there's poems. There are four poems by Lady Wisdom. The second part of the book, chapters 10 to 29, are the first collection of Solomon's sayings. And that's followed by a second collection of Solomon's sayings, but these were added later in the time of King Hezekiah. And they may have included some wise sayings from King Hezekiah, because Hezekiah was one of the few good, holy kings of that period. Now, chapter 30, there's a poem of Agur, and we'll get into that when we get to that part. And then chapter 31, there's the sayings of King Lemuel, and then a poem of the woman of worth concludes the book. So let's begin at the beginning, Proverbs 1, verse 1. And it starts out and tells us who wrote this book. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, that people may know wisdom and discipline, may understand intelligent sayings, may receive instruction and wise conduct, in what is right, just, and fair, that resourcefulness may be imparted to the naive, knowledge and discretion to the young. The wise, by hearing them, will advance in learning. The intelligent will gain sound guidance to comprehend proverb and byword, the words of the wise and their riddles. So fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And this is a theme that will go right through the book of Proverbs. Now, there are two words or terms that we should think about here. The first is chokmah, which means wisdom. And wisdom, in this sense, has three or more meanings. It can mean a skill, it can mean applied knowledge, and it can also mean practical arts, artistry. So Exodus chapter 31, verse 1 to 3, describes how artisans created the altar and religious vessels for the tent of the tabernacle as having chokmah. They had wisdom. So Moses enlisted these people who had wisdom to do this work. And then this term, fear of the Lord, it means faith and reverence, humility and awe, and moral mindset and obedience. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. So fear of the Lord does not mean you're terrified of God and what might happen. It means that you're terrified that you might offend God, that you might disappoint him in the way a child might disappoint their parents and be very upset about doing that. So there's fear of the Lord. So now Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, we read a father's warning to a young man leaving home to avoid the greedy and the violent. And then two ways lie before the hearer, a way that leads to death and a way that leads to life. A second theme introduced here is that the founding or managing of a household and choosing a spouse, how important that is. And then a third theme is the human obstacles to attaining wisdom. Know who is speaking to you or enticing you to enter into a relationship or project. So this is all good advice on how to live your life. And we might look at it this way by these graphs. If the son follows his father's advice, then in wisdom and fear of the Lord, he will act out virtue and integrity, and the result will be peace and a good life. But if the son does not follow his father's advice, then evil and foolishness will yield to pride and selfishness, and that will result in turmoil, ruin, and shame. Now, after these basic admonitions to a good life, there are four poems by Lady Wisdom. And these four poems are presented interspersed amongst these more well-known proverbial sayings. The poems focus on integrity, charity, and fear of the Lord. Living in accordance with her advice will result in peace and tranquility in a troubled world. And certainly we need that. So here's the first. Wisdom in person gives a warning. So wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the open squares, she raises her voice. Down the crowded ways, she calls out. At the city gate, she utters her words. How long, you naive ones, will you love naivete? How long will you turn away at my reproof? The arrogant delight in their arrogance, and the fools hate knowledge. Lo, I will pour out to you my spirit. I will acquaint you with my words, because I called and you refused, extended my hand and no one took notice. Because you disdained all my counsel and my reproof, you ignored. I, in my turn, will laugh at your doom, will mock when terror overtakes you, when terror comes upon you like a storm, and your doom approaches like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish befall you. So this is very much an Old Testament style warning. Heed the call or suffer the doom. Then they will call me, but I will not answer. They will seek me, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge, and the fear of the Lord they did not choose. They ignored my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. Well, then they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and with their own devices be glutted. For the straying of the naive kills them. The smugness of fools destroys them. But whoever obeys me dwells in security, in peace, without fear of harm. Happy the one who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. Her profit is better than profit and silver, and better than gold is her revenue. She is more precious than corals. No treasure of yours can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who grasp her, and those who hold her fast are happy. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, established the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge, the depths are split, and the clouds drop down dew. So Proverbs 8 and 9 are the continuation of this long extended poem, and here it focuses on the wisdom of holding true to the fear of the Lord and avoid becoming like the ignorant and lazy who will ultimately enter into despair. In chapter 9, there is a poem about two women, one wise and one foolish, and they invite passersby to dine with them. Those who choose wisdom will prosper, but those who do not are destined for Sheol, which is the place of the dead. And then in the book, we come to the Proverbs of King Solomon. These are in chapters 10 through 29. The writings are not organized in any historic or thematic order. They're presented somewhat randomly, but they're a collection of wise sayings covering many, many topics. Chapters 25 to 29 are referred to as the second collection of Solomon's wisdom, and these are the ones that were assembled during the time of King Hezekiah. So we're just going to run through some examples, and they will be taken from different chapters, but we'll try to keep on a theme. So the first theme is going to be husbands and wives. So from Proverbs 18, we find it said, "To find a wife is to find happiness, a favor granted by the Lord." And in Proverbs 19, it says, "Home and possessions are an inheritance from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." So a good wife is a great gift from God. Marriage is from God. It's part of his divine plan. And the vocation of marriage, vocation comes from a Latin word, which means to call. So men and women are called into marriage. Keeping God in the marriage will lead to happiness and peace, as we all know. And then Proverbs on children and parents. Well, folly is bound to the heart of a youth, but the rod of discipline will drive it out. That's from Proverbs 22. Train the young in the way they should go, and even when old, they will not swerve from it. Proverbs 22. So parents are obliged to love, instruct, and discipline their children. Parents are the first and primary educators of their children, and parents need to show their children God's ways. And that's especially true today. And then we have some Proverbs on wisdom and chastity. From Proverbs chapter 2, we read, "Then you will understand what is right and just, what is fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be at home in your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, saving you from the way of the wicked, from those whose speech is perverse, saving you from a stranger, from a foreign woman, with her smooth words." So you have to remember, Israel was surrounded by Canaanites, and there was a prohibition on mixing. So this kind of falls into that. And then we have a second one from Proverbs chapter 5. It says, "So now, children, listen to me. Do not stray from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to a merciless one, lest outsiders take their fill of your wealth, and your hard-won earnings go to another's house, and you groan in the end when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, 'Oh, why did I hate instruction, and my heart spurn reproof?'" Then we have two Proverbs on tenderness and toughness. "Do not those who plan evil go astray, but those who plan good win steadfast loyalty." Proverbs 14. "By steadfast loyalty, guilt is expiated, and by the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided." That's Proverbs 16. "Those who seek out evil wander away from the sure pathway, and those who stay on the pathway will prosper." So the fear of the Lord keeps one on the path. And then we have some Proverbs on leadership and righteousness. And from Proverbs 16, verse 12, we have, "Wrongdoing is an abomination to kings, for by justice the throne endures. When the just flourish, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan." Ain't that the truth? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. So in these Proverbs, kings rule with God's permission. So wrongdoing by a king is an abomination to the Lord, and righteousness is a blessing. So those who act in power, when they act in power wickedly, the helpless suffer like the unborn today. So then we have Proverbs on God and government. A king's heart is channeled water in the hand of the Lord. God directs it where he pleases. The second proverb says, many curry favor with a ruler, but it is from the Lord that one receives justice. So ultimately, the Lord's in charge. Seeking a favor from an authority figure can be a good thing, but receiving justice in the spirit of the Lord is preferred. So better to do right than to please governments. So Proverbs on wealth and poverty. Wealth adds many friends, but the poor are left friendless. Yep. Whoever cares for the poor lends to the Lord. Who will pay back the sum in full? So we are meant to be charitable. Poverty and loneliness are often partners. Compassion and assistance are habits of the faithful. Love of neighbor begins with love of God. Proverbs on business and fairness. From Proverbs 11, we have, false scales are an abomination to the Lord. And by that, they mean in the marketplace, false scales, they would weigh things wrong, so they would mischarge you. But an honest weight is delight. Balance and scales belong to the Lord. Every weight in the sack is his concern. Better a life with justice than a large income with injustice. So the faithful man will be truly honest in all his business dealings, and fear of the Lord causes one to seek justice. Proverbs on anger and timidity. Long-suffering results in great wisdom. A short temper raises folly high. A mild answer turns back wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So how many times has somebody had something said to them and they react so angrily and all of a sudden all turmoil breaks loose? No, curb your anger. A spiritual healing comes to one who has experience with anger and the means to avoid or delay it. Only a fool would intentionally increase the heat in an argument. Proverbs on pride and humility. When pride comes, disgrace comes, but with the humble is wisdom. The stupid sow discord by their insolence, but wisdom is with those who take counsel. So pride leads one by their own reasoning, which can often lead to failure. And know-it-alls often get to try again because of their failures. Now, wise people will ask or seek counsel. Proverbs on silence and speech. The mouth of the just is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool is imminent ruin. So a wise person knows when to speak and when to be silent, and wicked speech can result in strife. And then we have Proverbs on work and idleness. The door turns on its hinges, and sluggards on their beds. I love that one. The door turns on its hinges, doing work, and sluggards turn on their beds. The way of the sluggard is like a thorn hedge, but the path of the diligent is a highway. So laziness gets little accomplished. Involvement of the sluggard means inherent delays, and those who persevere will succeed. Well, in Proverbs chapter 30, we come to the poem of Agur. And nobody knows who he is, but it tells us who he is in these words, but that's all that's known. The words of Agur, son of Jekha, the Messite, and the pronouncement of mortal man. I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and I am exhausted. I am more brute than human being, without even human intelligence. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor have I the knowledge of the Holy One. So this Agur is upset with himself because, as he says, he's more brute than a human being. He has not learned the skills of good living. But what he does is he does achieve wisdom because he discovers and reads Holy Scripture, and it changes his life. And then in Proverbs chapter 31, we come to the poem of Lemuel. Again, nobody's sure who Lemuel is, but the consensus is it's another name for King Solomon, and that his mother would be Bathsheba in this instance. The words of Lemuel, king of Massa, the instruction of his mother taught him, what are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your vigor to women or your strength to those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine. Strong drink is not for princes, lest in drinking they forget what has been decreed and violate the rights of any who are in need. So she's admonishing him to stay away from women, stay away from drink. You're a king, act like one. So the description of Lemuel's mother recalls Lady Wisdom that we read about in chapter 1 of Proverbs. And the story of this wise woman is told in what's called an acrostic poem. And that means that each line of the poem is started by the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So it would be like, in our alphabet, it would be like A is the first line, B the second, C the third. So she is, this woman of wisdom is depicted as a model of virtue with family, husband, commerce, education, and charity. So here's the target to achieve. And it's the poem, The Woman of Worth, in Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a woman of worth? Far beyond jewels is her value. Her husband trusts her judgment. He does not lack income. She brings him profit, not loss, all the days of her life. She seeks out wool and flax and weaves with skillful hands, like a merchant. Fleet, she secures her provisions from afar. She rises while it is still night and distributes food to her household, a portion to her maidservants. She picks out a field and acquires it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength. She exerts her arms with vigor. She enjoys the profit from her dealings. Her lamp is never extinguished at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her fingers ply the spindle. She reaches out her hands to the poor and extends her arms to the needy. She is not concerned for her household when it snows. All her charges are doubly clothed. She makes her own coverlets. Fine linen and purple are her clothing. Her husband is prominent at the city gates as he sits with the elders of the land. She makes garments and sells them, and she stocks the merchants with belts. She is clothed with strength and dignity and laughs at the days to come. She opens her mouth in wisdom. Kindly instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband, too, praises her. Many are the women of proven worth, but you have excelled them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Acclaim her for the work of her hands, and let her deeds praise her at the city gates. So, what is the message of this very complex book of Proverbs? Well, there's two quotes up here. On the left, we have, fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. So all of those Proverbs that gave good advice fall into these categories. And then there's, on the right, we see, train the young in the way they should go. Even when old, they will not swerve from it. But some of us are parents, and some of us know that doesn't always work out that way. And these are Proverbs, but they are not promises. Life has too many exceptions. Consequently, there are more wisdom books which explore these other issues. So let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.